You were speaking of that Mevlana was, a fully mature man.
Yes.
When he met Shems.
That eliminates some of the bad publicity. West wanted to see East on the garden where young man is in the arm of a middle-aged man.
Yeah.
And the fountains are flowing.
So that's not a possibility then?
That bad image is existent in Konya, in Turkey, everywhere else in Des Moines. Well, let's talk about love where Manara mentions.
Please.
Sure. This love is not love to any existing human being, man or woman, or love to money, fame, or anything. I think the Plato's dialogue mentioned about love, best way, none of this. And eventually, Plato sums up love and learning. This business is not learning. This business, unlearning. And you go through fasting, breathing changes, and suffering, mental suffering, you detach from the words, everything what you hang on will dissolve, will cut through, which gives you some pain. If you fond of money, you lose money. If you fond of a lot of losses, a lot of humiliations, that's part of the game. But you go through with this, you change your perception. So first stage is Fana, F-I-Z. Annihilation and an action.
You're talking about the levels of Fana?
Yeah. Fana, annihilation and action is first stage. It takes about 8 to 12 years, hardest period. And then you will have no time and space limitation. You can be here and there at the same time. And time become not linear, but past, present, and future become same time, on a dime, they call. And all the mental questions are answered. In other words, what is God, what is man, what is life, what is that? You don't have the answers putting in a couple pages or paragraph, but you dissolve the questions. You know this by heart. That's what they call Ledun.
They call it
Ledun.
Ledun.
Ledun size.
Now, just so I can get a picture, I'm looking at Mr. Shichud's appendix that you kindly sent.
Yes.
He is listing the four fana.
Yes.
The fana el akam, the fana el sifat, or no, sorry, the fana el afal.
Al-sifat, fana attribute.
Yes.
Annihilation and action, annihilation attribute.
Yes.
Fana sifat, annihilation attribute comes a little after fana'i afal. Then you have explosion of love and ecstasy. This is where exactly Mevlana was. This love comes from inside out, not outside in. Unless you know the fana'a and annihilation of attributes, you will never understand love in Mevlana. Love in Mevlana, love to Shams, love to God, love to beauty, all of the same. This is where people are messing up and finding this love similar to love we experience in life. Also, there is nothing wrong with the love we experience in life. Mevlana say, look at the result of this love. How many beautiful children were born? Love any kind is acceptable for Mevlana. Except love to self.
Mm-hmm.
Self is the biggest curse. Now we got stuck with the self. Prey predator mechanism. Everybody feels somebody else is prey. He becomes predator. He takes certain advantage. He realizes, how am I going to get something out of it? As long as we stay like that, we'll never end the conflict. Mevlana say, be like a mother's baby relation with others.
Mm.
Because mother has no self in his product. Baby, right?
Yep.
As dogs and cats, bees and butterflies, every creature as good mother as human mother. Right? Even better.
Mm-hmm.
They give their life for this kind of relation. This is where he suggests to end the conflict. You have to get rid of the self, he says. Self, he says, is like a hair on your eye, torn in the bottom of your feet. And if you remove them, you're not going to be able to see or go anywhere. Mevlana, believe me not, is the last hope for mankind.
Hmm.
If you listen to this, all right, we'll maybe all right for a while. If you don't, we'll be in nuclear winter forever.
And it's this precise fana that you're speaking of attributes.
Attributes. Fana attribute. Fana is the annihilation of self.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long, hard, lonely process. You don't need anybody to do that. Hunger, breathlessness is the cheapest thing in the world. And for doing that, you don't need anybody. Nobody will be able to do this for you. We whole Sofet is the fellowship, getting together with person like we're doing right now.
Right.
Talking about a little bit more on the experience in this way. Advise or listen some others' suggestions, experiences. This is secondary. Never replace the fasting and the breathing and suffering. One has to go through that. Unfortunately, most of the mystic way or tariqat are nothing but fellowship. They do listen or read books, and they try to learn without experiencing these stages. And most of the religions are nothing but ceremonies.
Mm.
Theaters have a costume, music, and everything, acting. Very profitable.
Now, the four aspects of annihilation that you are just going through here for us, firstly, what Mr. Shashud is calling a zikr, remembrance, which is the breathing aspect.
Yes.
Secondly, is austerity or the fasting practice.
Yes.
Thirdly, is contrition or suffering, as you say.
Yes.
And fourthly, is the fellowship, the sobet, as it were, keeping company with other people on this path.
No money is exchanged, no benefit has been derived from this fellowship. And no dress code, no nothing.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a bit about one of the stories in the Mathnawi?
Right.
The very first story of the Mathnawi, the story of the king and the handmaiden. Are you familiar with that?
No. I am not familiar anything in Mathnawi yet.
Okay.
That will be my next life adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Talent. I am familiar with everything in Diwan. Diwan is 44,000 verses. Mathnawi is 27,000.
Wow.
Masnavi has been written by Mevlana or said by Mevlana, written by Hüsamettin Çelebi. As you remember, Hüsamettin replaced Şams.
Yes.
After Şams' disappearance, there's a period where Selahaddin Zerkub, goldsmith, had stayed with the close circle with Mevlana. He was old and died short time later. But Mevlana married his son with his daughter, and that wedding had been subject to a couple odd gazelles, in Iran.
Hmm.
And I believe one of them was mentioning where Shams was there.
Hmm.
Shams stayed with Mevlana a little over than 2 years. Came to Konya 1244, 45 maybe, and left or disappeared 47. And if you take his first travel to Damascus, altogether maybe about 2 years, 2 months or so. Intense getting. And that intensity produced devout teacher, blah, blah, as we know, as we are. There's no anybody in the world, east or west, like Mevlana, with the quantity and quality. All the Persian writers before him or after him are like tent were found, put in the garden of Mevlana's palace.
Tents.
Tents. Believe me.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me. There is nobody in West or East as he is. He takes you from yourself to beyond yourself. That's the importance of Mevlana. He gets you out of yourself.
Yes.
He shows this route very, very beautifully, elegantly, and clearly. Unless you do that, you're caged in your jail, your dungeon. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, we were disconnected.
Yeah. I was just saying how much of an influence Mevlana's poetry has had on me. And I wanted to just go back a bit because you mentioned Husamuddin. Yes, that during the recitation of the Mathnawi, it is said that Mevlana would be turning and that Husamuddin would be sitting on the side and taking down the verses.
Well, I don't know about turning, but I do believe first suggestion came from Husamuddin. He says, our people around us are telling me they read Sinai, Habers. Why don't you have some of those things been put in the book? He says, Madonna say, answer him, that's what I thought. And last night I put down 18 verses. If you allow me to recite, and if you write down this, we'll have a new book.
Hmm.
18 verses came from his turban. Always consider 18 as a lucky number in Maldives. And earth 18 verses his handwriting. Rest of them are Husamuddin. He recites during the day, but they correct it at night. There's a period that started in 1265 or so. End up in a couple of years before Mevlana's death. During that process, Mevlana, I mean, the Sametin's wife got sick. They give an interval, about a year or so. And this is why Mesnevi, but the one was continued while he was reciting the Mesnevi. And also, let's say, Ghazals and Rubai's quatrains as well.
So all at the same time as he was working on the Mesnevi, also he was continuing with those other...
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Unfortunately, Diwan anthology means, Diwan as an anthology, has classic form. They divide all the poems on regarding the meters. Meters are kind of musical tunes on Arabic and Persian poetry. Failatun, kind of 23 of them.
Hmm.
And they divide them, those poetry poems, in the, according to their meters, and then they subgroup them on the last word of the rhyme, last alphabet of the rhyme. A, B, C, H, goes on like that. It's not chronologically done, so we don't know which poem was said in, before, which one was said later on. Except in Diwan, we know quite a bit about life in Konya in the 13th century, where Mongols came in, everybody loaded their belongings to mules, and going to Kayseri, and there are earthquakes, there are unjust Qadirs, judges, and there are Jalad, the one professionally kills people wandering around the street. There are everything in 13th century Konya is right there. There are some poems were read and recited in hammam, Turkish bath.
Yep.
He liked it there to stay a couple of days, as a matter of fact.
Is that right? In the hammam?
Yes. His son went and begged him to get out. All those interesting things in the Diwan. If you read word by word, that's what I did.
Okay.
Thank God. Thank God. What else I should be doing at this moment in my life if I didn't have to do this? I would commit suicide.
Well,
because you run out of the thing to do in life. You become vegetable.
Yeah.
You eat. You, whatever.
Yeah.
Basic function.
Well, you wouldn't be out. You wouldn't be out golfing or anything like that.
Yeah. Your mind is busy. You've been through with everything. You realize how life is nothing but a dream. Somebody else lived the dream 50, 60 years ago. It wasn't you. And the thing becomes nuisance.
Yeah.
Really. This, I am very happy to pursue this road. I have projects, you wouldn't believe it, will carry me to another life or another life. I hate to come back again. Because it's a very, very shitty words, as a matter of fact.
Hmm. You wrote this wonderful book, The Tales of a Modern Sufi.
Right.
And you're bringing some of these perceptions that you just shared here to the printed page. Can you tell us a bit about that book? And, I mean, the story that that I read a couple of times, I can't find it right now, I'm looking through it, is the one where he meets on the shore.
Right.
He goes down to the shore, and there's a man on a black horse who comes to him and says, well, you're on my land.
Right.
And the fellow in the story says, well, really, I'm on the shore. It's neither land nor ocean.
Right. This is a basic concept of defining this, describing the man. Man is not object. Man is a shore concept. Man is a concept, not an object. It's the touching point of true unknown. Body and soul. We have no idea, neither body nor soul. But touching point of true unknown makes the perception, consciousness. This is what I try to say. We cannot carry 1 millimeter, 1 meter short from one side to other. You carry the water or sand, or horizon is the same thing.
Okay.
Is a concept. Man is a concept. But everybody thinks is an object. And we deal like an object. But it's a non-existing thing. Man is. Please, leave me alone. Let's get together again. Where are you living?
Where am I living?
Yes.
In this, I live in Niagara region. You know, have you heard of the Niagara Falls in Canada?
Oh, yeah. I have been there a lot of times. In Canadian side, in American side. Buffalo?
Yes.
Or Ontario side?
Yes. So I'm living about 20 minutes away from the falls in this area where we grow lots of wine here in Canada.
Oh, yeah. You have wine after the snow and frozen freeze came.
That's,
you picked them up?
That's right, the ice wine.
Yes.
I
understood that. From my neighbor in the Mesa meeting, the publisher came from Buffalo, New York,
mm-hmm.
were telling me about that kind of wine. I drink last 40 years half bottle of wine. If you talk about wine in Marana, it's not Divine wine, also divine wine, he says he drink, but the grape wine, he drink that as well.
Mevlana says that.
Oh, absolutely. I could prove that many poem, many rubais. Yes.
Hmm.
He enjoy drinking good wine. I think God created men and made the women out of rib cage or ribs. After that, he felt sorry for the man and he created the wine. You can say that too. Wine is a symphony.
Mm-hmm.
You happen to be in San Francisco, please, let's get together.
Well, that would be wonderful. And thank you so much, really, for making this time and talking with us. I'm hoping to be able to get a nice podcast out of this, and I will let you know when I post it.
All right. It's my pleasure. It's my honor. And let's get together sometime. Or too late.
Drunks, even if there's not much wine, just the smell of it in the air will be enough to give you a shine.
Idiot Players podcast is available for download at idiotplayers.org. Any republication in whole or in part of this podcast must include a pointer back to idiotplayers.org.